Hello, .NET members, readers, and listeners. My name is John Moore, and this is the ProWrestling.net All Access audio review for the NXT show that aired September 6, 2017 on the WWE Network. After the commercial break for non-members, I'll be going over my full-on audio review for the NXT show, which featured Asuka in the main event, addressing her future as an NXT wrestler and the status of the NXT Women's Championship following Asuka's recent injury. Okay, we're back from the commercial. And going back to NXT, we are back to the formula of NXT. NXT has a good formula they utilize. It's a bunch of enhancement undercard matches leading to a solid main event. So in that sense, they're not giving away too much. And the squash matches aren't terrible. They all move things forward somehow. So there's usually good writing orbiting the squash matches. And sometimes within the squash matches, they're, you know, no one is damaged. Everything done with these NXT squash matches for some reason is very good. Like unlike 205 Live, for example, where people get damaged all over the place. But after WrestleMania, NXT wasn't great before WrestleMania, or at least before January, maybe before February, because they maybe picked it up a little bit before WrestleMania when Triple H addressed that they were having a weird creative booking and putting on a house show where those squash matches weren't that great. But like I said, now they have a good formula. They have good undercard matches. They have a solid, what I like to call SmackDown 6 type formula, where you have good main eventers putting on good main events. And they treat all, they just have six main eventers, and when you want to reshuffle the deck, you just reshuffle the deck. And I think there are six or seven or so. I'm not sure of the exact number, but I'll name them. It's like Roderick Strong. So Bobby Roode's gone, but Bobby Roode was a part of this. Hideo Itami, Cassius Ohno, Andrade Cien Almas might be up there, I'm not sure, Drew McIntyre, and I know I'm forgetting someone, but they have those guys in a good position where you could just move them around, and they put on good main events. Probably add Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, and or Bobby Fish into that top position. And they're doing a slow burn to introducing them as well. But this episode, very solid, very formula, and formula is not bad. If you would like to follow along with my audio review, you can check out my written review at ProWrestling.net, which I'll be utilizing as an outline, as notes, so I can stay on track. So without further ado, let's get into the NXT audio review. This week's episode of WWE NXT Television was taped back August 24th, 2017 at Full Sail University in Winter Park, Florida. We started out the show with an intro teaser. It was a solid video package. It focused on the Hideo Itami turn, his turn to darkness, if you will. What it was, you know, so he just came back from injury. And of course, the storyline has been, and in real life, he's been in NXT for a long time and hasn't done much, so he's out on a quest to get respect. But of course, he came up short on his attempt to get the NXT Championship, and he went off in the locker room and demanded respect. Cassius Ohno was the one guy who tried to calm down Hideo Itami and took the brunt of the fury of Hideo Itami, which leads us to our main event. There was a few matches in between, including one match where Hideo Itami ended up getting a low blow and getting himself disqualified, which is why we had a no disqualification match in this episode. So that was the intro teaser. We had the intro video. And we were taken to the Mauro Ranallo voiceover, who introduced the viewers to NXT. And I believe Will Pruitt has been pointing this out, but I totally agree as well, because it annoys me at the same time. What it is NXT. They you can easily tell what was done in the studio versus what is done out in full sail or done live, because it sounds like a voiceover. No background noise. Mauro Ranallo sounds like he's in a sound booth, or sound like he's recording it on a headset, just like me. Weird sound mixing. He introduced the viewers to NXT and hyped up a few of the matches, and then we were taken to the in-arena version where we can hear actual, like, a trio of announcers. It was Mauro Ranallo, Nigel McGuinness, and Percy Watson on the commentary table. Our first match of the night was Andrade Cien Almas versus Cesar Bononi. Cesar Bononi. Bononi is one of my favorite names to pronounce due to his last name being Bononi. It's just like up there with Ricky Reyes's mask character in Lucha Underground, Veneno. It's that weird last two syllable thing. I don't know why. I get a kick out of saying Benoni or Veneno. But at the commentary table, Andrade Almas had Selena Vega there, so she was just hyping him up. And Andrade Almas defeated Cesar Bononi via pinfall in 2 minutes and 45 seconds. The announcers told the story well here. It was just Andrade Almas getting his win back. It was a squash match, but there was a story behind this. So back when Andrade Almas was jobbing to people, he actually jobbed to Cesar Bononi. Not in the way to enhance Bononi. The reason he jobbed to Bononi was it was to lead to Almas needing to find a way to get focus, and Zelina Vega was the way he found focus. Vega wasn't great on commentary, but I'll probably just attribute that to Percy Watson just asking the most cookie cutter questions. There's something that wasn't progressive, but it wasn't Vega's or NXT's fault. It was just the paper that they handed to Percy Watson, and it sounding like Percy Watson reading off a paper. But it was a good squash. The story made sense. The announcers pointed out that Andrade Almas was getting his win back now that he's quote unquote focused. So there we go. Positive. Everything moving forward. Cesar Bononi didn't look as great as or as good as he has in his last two matches, mostly because he didn't get to utilize the martial arts that he's been utilizing in his matches. But he was here to enhance Almas. He did the job perfectly. The next segment after the commercial break, we had, or before that, so after the match, we had William Regal just addressing Kyle O'Reilly, Adam Cole, and Bobby Fish, saying that they know, the trio knows, that there are no more sneak attacks. So there you go. Simple and effective storyline manager, William Regal. He's probably one of the best general managers in pro wrestling just for not being too convoluted. So moving along, after the commercial break, we had the outside interview. I forget her name, is something St. Clair. She was in front of Asuka's locker room. There's an Asuka mask. That's how you know it's Asuka's locker room. She was interrupted by the Velveteen Dream, Patrick Clark, who interrupted her and said the ambiance was still not perfect for his interview, but he talked about being compelled at TakeOver and he will speak soon. So Velveteen Dream is going to speak soon. The next match of the night was Lars Sullivan versus three random enhancement guys. I don't think they were named. And Lars Sullivan is that big dude. He looks like the Hulk version. If Sami Callihan ever became the Incredible Hulk, that's what Lars Sullivan would be. If you shot Sami Callihan with gamma rays. But yeah, he destroyed the three guys, of course, in a minute and 20 seconds. He beat them with Uranagis, all of them. After the match, he pummeled them in the back of the head with punches, and suddenly, No Way Jose danced on stage, doing the No Way Jose dance. He did come out for a promo and stood face to face with Lars. What was cool about that was No Way Jose is deceptively a large dude, so he stood face to face with the huge dude, Lars Sullivan. He told Lars, or let's see. So he tried to punch Lars Sullivan, but of course, Lars Sullivan just ended up destroying him because Lars Sullivan is a big dude. I did like the times he beat up tag team partners a bit more, but enhancement match. He beats up three guys. This is what he does. And this is the solid way to build him. He's kind of like NXT's version of Braun Strowman. So, positive squash match, enhancement match here for Lars Sullivan. After that, Bundle of Fury. Nigel McGuinness transitioned to a Johnny Gargano interview. He was essentially interrupted by Tino Sabatelli and Riddick Moss. They were interviewing Johnny Gargano about his PTSD, his DIY PTSD, as exhibited in Zelina Vega throwing a DIY shirt at him. He tried to blame himself for not being focused. And Sabatelli and Riddick Moss come in. And long story short, Gargano challenges one of them to a match next week. He said he doesn't care. Who steps up, he's gonna beat them. After this, we had a Sonya Deville vignette, and Sonya Deville is Daria Barinato from Tough Enough, who is a legit MMA fighter, and she's using an MMA gimmick. Let me take a break from the audio review to talk about the wonders of .NET membership. For the low price of $7.50 a month, you can get full ad-free access to our site, which includes a whole lot of other perks as well, like audio reviews for every major pro wrestling show in the US. So you get like this NXT review maybe once a month, twice a month if you're lucky. But note that on the member side, we have audio reviews every week for every show. And all these shows include the major shows, like I mentioned, Raw, SmackDown, Ring of Honor, Global Force Wrestling, Impact Wrestling, Lucha Underground. We even have one minor show like WWE 205 Live, just for lulz. But I would like to direct you to more audios, but in particular, this week, I like to direct you towards a really good .NET Weekly show that we put out. Of course, as a member, you get access to our flagship podcast, the .NET Weekly Show, where Jason Powell and a random character select screen of pro wrestling personality co-hosts go over the news of the week and in-depth topics. Of course, most of the time it's a personality in the pro wrestling world, but it can also be one of a staff or maybe other pro wrestling journalists. This week, Zach Zimmerman was the co-host. He's the senpai of this show, actually. I'm the one actually filling in for Zach. Like I said, he's NXT senpai. Sim is, of course, dude, you know, he. School gets in the way. Thankfully, I graduated a couple years ago. But real life, school, work, more important. And scheduling gets in the way. So temporarily, I'm filling in for NXT when classes get rearranged or the semester ends. You'll probably get Zach Zimmerman back because no one covers NXT better than Zach Zimmerman. He has covered it back in the days when you had like the Usos versus Johnny Curtis, and when Fandango was Johnny Curtis and Michael McGillicuddy. I remember that match for some reason. I used to watch NXT back in the day too, even going back to the further day when it was a game show, but that was a different NXT. But no, Zach, see, I'm going off tangent. Zach Zimmerman was the co-host of .NET Weekly, and he was out in my neck of the woods in good old 100 plus degree California. Go heat wave. Sim attended the Battle of Los Angeles, which actually is not in main part Los Angeles. It's in Reseda, California, right under Riverside, the place that smells like oranges. BOLA, as it's abbreviated, it's the arguably the largest independent show in the world, where all the indie company talent converge in Reseda, California for this tournament, this big tournament. Zach got some good notes from the show. I'll say check it out. They also went over some of the news of the week, like the chaos with his which is GFW Impact Wrestling, because it happened again. They have chaos behind the scenes. This is a tradition, this part of the year, every year. It's a bound for glory tradition. Go GFW slash TNA, only in TNA. But sorry to bring you down with GFW, but that's the thing. It's news. There was a lot of good other news reports on that show too. So make sure to check it out. Very good .NET Weekly episode. Also, as a member, you get access to our forums and auxiliary podcasts. We have podcasts for everything, pro wrestling related, and Jason Powell even handles your non-pro wrestling questions. Also, if you would try us well for a month and like us, you can maybe stick around for our annual option, which brings the price down to about $5.50 a month on average. So check us out here at theprowrestling.net, the members section. Now back to our NXT review. So after the last commercial break, we were taken to clips from last week. So there was the parking lot, and there were Sanity, which is Alexander Wolf, Killian Dain, Eric Young. I don't think we saw Nikki Cross beat up, but at least the three guys were beat up. And this led to a video package, and everyone assumes this was Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, and Bobby Fish. So Eric Young, he had red eyes. I'm not sure if it was the red eye on the camera or if he had contacts on, but it worked out for how Sanity is. He said he knows that Cole's guy, they dance differently and they will look back at TakeOver and see it as a mistake. EY said he doesn't care about the background of the three guys because the only thing Sanity cares about, and Alexander put Wolf put his head in and says, "Chaos," because Sanity. Our next match of the night was Zeta versus Sonya Deville. Zeta was, of course, competing in the Mae Young Classic. She is a Her background is in Brazilian jiu-jitsu and in modeling. I believe she's Chinese. Not sure. But another enhancement match. Sonya Deville defeated Zeta via submission in 1 minute and 44 seconds. So, on one hand, I like this a lot for Daria Baronado. Excuse me, I'm not sure if you caught. There was like a bus outside that made noise. But it was quick. In past matches, Daria has given, or Sonya Deville has given up a lot of offense to her opponents. But this one was short and sweet. What annoys the hell out of me, though, is she would do this weird choreographed shadow boxing that comes off as unnatural. It's like she was practicing at the performance center, and Triple H said, like, look at the camera and do your shadow boxing routine. But it doesn't look natural. It looks like she's always jumping into camera position. And either don't do it or find a way to make it come off as more natural. It annoys me. I'm sure I'm not the only one at that. It's not something that comes off very well. The reason why I say that too is because you have Shayna Baszler on the Mae Young Classic, who's also a legit MMA fighter with more credibility, more name value than Daria Baronado. And she's looking a lot more natural and more badass than Sonya Deville. So it'll be interesting to see where that ends up, especially with them both having the same MMA type gimmick and Shayna Baszler having the bigger name. But I did like this squash. This also thing to note with the end of the match is they quickly cut away from Sonya Deville and we didn't get to see the shadow boxing. So I'm always up for it. I'm not showing Shayna Baszler's lame shadow boxing. We were taken to the commercial break, and once we came back, we had a Connoisseur ad telling us where to buy the items, where 100% of the profits go towards the Connoisseur Foundation. We were taken to the Performance Center where Danny Burch, Oney Lorcan, Alex Dieter Jr., and some fourth guy that I didn't recognize, he had dreadlocks. Might have been Brennan Williams. I'm not sure because when I think dreadlocks in the WWE Performance Center, I for some reason think Brennan Williams, former NFL player. But William Regal was watching them sparring, and Ruby Riott came up to Regal. She asked for a handicap match. William Regal said that was stupid. Thumbs up for William Regal for pointing out logic, and that baby faces shouldn't be requesting handicap matches. He said he'll give Ruby Riott a match against Peyton Royce and Billie Kay, but Ruby Riott has to find a tag team partner because handicap matches are dumb. So I like that little twist in logic, or that little attention to logic. Our main event match of the night was Cassius Ohno versus Hideo Itami in a no disqualification match. And this match was, as I mentioned in the teaser, it was the match they were building up to. It utilized chairs. There was some good brawling, but it never quite got into like that next level that both Cassius Ohno and Hideo Itami are capable of. So Cassius Ohno defeats Hideo Itami via pinfall in 9 minutes and 12 seconds. And this was coming off of, so Hideo Itami attempted to do the low blow again. Cassius Ohno blocked the low blow and gave Itami a low blow when Itami attempted the GTS after the failed low blow. Oh yeah, no, because Itami did succeed in the I-Rake. But after low blowing Itami, Cassius Ohno hit the rolling elbow on Itami to pick up the pinfall win. So, what I did like about this is I was afraid that one of these guys would have to take a loss. Ohno hasn't won too many matches, and Itami's on a losing streak. But of course, Itami's protected here because the low blow. And because of that low blow finish from Cassius Ohno, of course, it was turnabout fair play. I totally expect there to be a rubber match or a third match between two. It's not necessarily a rubber match because Cassius Ohno has 2 wins. Because Ohno won the last time via disqualification. But I think Hideo Itami will want a third match, and I think that's where Itami would get his vicious win. Where Itami was picking up some good wins was when he was just destroying people. He even destroyed Cassius Ohno after Ohno's win. So I just hope we get are in store for some big Ohno or Hideo Itami beatdown. Or no, to have that be the thing. Have Itami get his beatdown and quickly move him to the main roster and have Hideo Itami destroy people on the main roster. I don't want to put him on 205 Live because 205 Live, find a way to utilize him on Raw's mid-card and keep him away from the main eventers with the possibility that he will build himself up enough to maybe possibly get into the main event. That's this high wishing, but one can dream. Moving along, our main event segment of the night, and of course, this was spliced in. It was the Asuka farewell speech. Very similar to the Shinsuke Nakamura one, but Asuka was totally babyface here. So I'll go over it. Let's see. So we had William Regal in the ring. Asuka talked about being in NXT for almost 2 years. She said she fought so many great superstars and said she loves NXT. And she loves NXT. She said she grew a lot in NXT and was grateful for NXT. And that's a lot of NXT. Regal said Asuka has done nothing but defend the title with honor and will risk everything, as Asuka's proved at NXT TakeOver Brooklyn in getting injured. Regal said, Asuka is one of the greatest champions, not just in NXT history or women's history, but in all of WWE history. Regal said, NXT already knows this, but the rest of the world will know now. And this led to Regal announcing that he's negotiating with Raw and SmackDown GMs about Asuka's future. Regal said it was bittersweet because Asuka will also be stepping down as NXT champion, women's champion. Regal said the rest of the world will know what everybody knows, and Asuka said that no one is ready for Asuka. So after that, the rest of the roster walked out and gave her a curtain call, so they all cheered. And Asuka did get up a few more words, and she said, "You are NXT. I am NXT, and wherever I go, NXT comes with me." Asuka's theme played, and this ended up closing NXT. Not just yet, no. There's still a lot more. So Ember Moon comes out, wants a handshake. Asuka heals it up jokingly for a second, and then ends up giving Ember Moon a hug. And after Triple H comes out and hands Asuka a bouquet of flowers in exchange for her NXT Women's Championship. Of course, with the bouquet of flowers and the fact that she's leaving NXT, Asuka was tearing up at this point. And Triple H announced one last time that everyone was seeing the undefeated 523-day reigning NXT Women's Champion, the Empress of Tomorrow, Asuka, and an NXT finish. So, classy farewell to Asuka, very well done. Some people would complain that Asuka was out of character since she's been playing a heel recently, but unforeseen circumstances with the collarbone injury, and everything here made sense. It was solid. I have no complaints. And what I can also say is Asuka escaped NXT as Regal put it, one of the greatest champions in WWE history. So everything was good, aside from the unfortunate Asuka injury. But that'll be it with the NXT audio review. Solid episode of NXT, and you would, of course, check this out for probably the Asuka farewell. The Hideo Tami versus Cassius Ohno match was okay, but it was setting up for possibly another match down the road because it didn't go into that next Hideo Itami gear that we know Itami is capable of. And it was a cheap finish, but logical finish given how Hideo Itami finished the last match. So there we go. Make sure to check out .NET Weekly, as I said, where Zach Zimmerman and Jason Powell go over the Battle of Los Angeles and other big news of the week. And make sure to check out .NET Membership. I'm pretty sure you wouldn't be disappointed. With that, I'll leave you to be. Next week, I will be back with my 205 Live review audio. Yay. Sarcastic. And you'll hear my Lucha Underground audio review, which will be posted on the main site either before or after this one. I actually recorded it before this. But yeah, there we go. And I'll be back with more audio reviews next week. So, that said, have a nice one. Bye-bye.